live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Let's get it on.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Sports Byline Broadcast Network, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, TuneIn, iHeart, iTunes, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Rush Channel 93. No matter how you're listening to us, thank you for making Observer Live the most listened to daily professional wrestling and mixed martial arts program in the world. I am Mike Sempervivi here with you. Brian Alvarez is not. He is at the doctor. He is at the dentist. He is at both. It's really kind of hit me that he's like become a full parody of himself today. Don't worry, though. And, if the whale thing from Sunday of Sustainamania might as well have been today, too. So, as far as I'm concerned, that's what history will dictate. WWE likes to change the past. I can change the past as well, too. He did all of those things in one day. Took the day off. I'll be here holding it down with you. Not only for him, but for the rest of the website as well, too. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry. He'll be back tonight for members of WrestlingObserver.com up on the website. He and Vinny, we don't need him, though. Know the routine. It's SmackDown Day, the day after Raw Day, and that usually carries us nicely through the hour. With Brian not here, we'll use the Sports Byline Studios to take your calls. Dom likes to work anyway. He's feeling fantastic today, feeling refreshed. So come, make him work a little bit, make him work up a sweat. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. If you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, you can do so as well, at SemperVivi. Brian is at Brian Alvarez, and Sports Byline is at Sports Byline. Paul Heyman has summoned the Beast Incarnate. And Brock Lesnar was penciled into next Monday Night's Raw a long time ago. The only question would be who he'd be beefing with once Extreme Rules was over. I thought it'd be Seth Rollins instead of Samoa Joe. And we're going to get into that because they did a fine job with the first step in leading towards Brock and Samoa Joe. SmackDown Live is tonight. New Japan's Dominion lineup is now complete. NXT's on tour in the UK right now. Ton of stuff going on. And we're going to get into all of it right after the break. If you want to join me, you can. 1-800-878-PLAY. I'm Mike Sempervivi. This is Wrestling Observer Live. All right, we are back. Mike Sempervivi here with you. Brian Alvarez not here with you. I want to give greetings to all of you listening worldwide over the American Forces Radio Network. Thank you to all the great men and women around the world who put their lives on the line in order to protect our ability to say stupid things like, man, I hope Brock Lesnar comes out on Raw next Monday and cuts a 20-minute promo about his feelings on Samoa Joe. They'll defend your right. But if you get backhanded by somebody for that level of nonsense, that's probably on you. Hopefully you don't have that level of nonsense when you call in today at 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529, or when you get a hold of me on Twitter, at SemperVivi. I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. I'm going to go to the phones right now. Ian in San Antonio. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, last night's episode of Raw I'll say it's better than usual, but still not that great, comparatively, as lately I've been watching old NWA Saturday Nights from 1986, but still pretty good, I guess. The Samoa Joe thing was my favorite, because I kind of thought that might happen, but even still, it was nice to see. And, Paul Heyman, all things considered, even though he just got, speared by Goldberg a few months ago, doesn't get touched all that often. Which, for a manager, I know he's an advocate, but I still say manager. He doesn't get hit a lot. And it's been a while since before the Goldberg thing, it's been a while. So every time something happens to him, it is pretty cool to see. So I don't know what they're going to do here, but I guess, because I definitely don't think Brock Lesnar's going to come and cut some impassioned. I mean, he doesn't talk anyway, but I doubt he's going to give some impassioned speech or show any kind of, remorse or any kind of, whatever feeling over Paul Heyman getting beat up. He's just not that kind of, guy. At least
Brock's not going to be hanging out with Dr. Shelby.
No, most certainly not. Hopefully not. I mean, you never know with the WWE. Kane did, Kane went from, being a burned freak all the way down to that, but I don't think they do that with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but look, I mean, look at Jinder Mahal. He was in there, and all of a sudden now he's SmackDown champion.
You know what? That is true. And if you listen to Kevin Sullivan, he will tell you that Jinder Mahal is going to be the biggest draw in wrestling. So in wrestling history, that's what Kevin Sullivan said. I don't necessarily agree with that, but he. And you know what? I guess Heath Slater was once in a three-man band, and then he was SmackDown Tag Team Champion and was pretty cool for a while, and now he's back to being a jobber, so that's always nice. You know.
Yeah, but there's a flaw in this because we don't want Brock Lesnar to fall into, like, the Bo Rotundo trap. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. That is.
Or Bo Dallas, I'm sorry.
Well, I knew who you meant. You know, I doubt that that'll happen. I don't think Brock Bo will use enough to fall into that trap anyway. But, you know, I think that this feud is going to be good. But, by the way, this is the only problem I had with this last night, is that they had this Seth Rollins-Samoa Joe match. And Samoa Joe did dominate most of the match. But, okay, here's the thing with Brock. Like, he beats you up very, like, handily. You know, every wrestler besides maybe, like, unless your name is The Undertaker or Goldberg. You know, and then it could be a little bit more of a back-and-forth thing. But he pretty much, everyone else, just suplexes them and, you know, doesn't really, like, bump. And, you know, he beats them pretty quickly. Unless your name is John Cena, then he just beat you up for like a long time, but still beat you pretty handily. And Samoa Joe was beating him, so I thought maybe you could make the case on what I thought they should have done. Where Samoa Joe, you know, beats up Seth Rollins for a long time, and then maybe Joe says, you know, Brock likes to dispatch his opponents quickly, I like to take my time. But then the only thing I have a problem with any of this is that Samoa Joe was still taking, and I just think this Joe, I don't want Joe to get dominated the way everyone else gets. I think he should go 50-50 with Brock. And I already know that Brock destroys Samoa Joe in real life, but Samoa Joe has that aura of just being a killer. You know, I mean, the way that I know, would book Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar is the way I think they should still book Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar. Brock will win, but Joe should look like he is at Brock's level. You know, and I know he lost to Rollins earlier this year, but I think they should have just been like, you know, Joe took too long, took his time, and then got cocky and lost. I think you could make a case for that. So that's the only problem I had. You know, he was bumping and stuff.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. You share something right there that I think is universal, and I think is a lesson that WWE just needs to just live by when it comes to Brock Lesnar, as you set somebody up for Brock Lesnar, which is that person needs to kill other people, and that's what people want to see. You know, I talked about it yesterday with Brian. You know, I want these guys to come out of Sunday night, you know, not to all kind of be at each other's level in that you're all intertwined with storylines trying to spring off of each other's back to get to the big platinum ring that is Brock Lesnar and to get that title opportunity and to get that quote-unquote big money match with Brock. I mean, that's great to have them all kind of as equal footing going out there that you got a bunch of these guys. But you don't want to do 50-50, and they fell into that trap for as good as they did last night. I think universally they're being told by fans, by critics, by seemingly kind of everybody that, hey, the match was good. You know, we obviously you want to protect Seth Rollins, but you didn't have to take it to that level with having that long of a match and having the sleight of hand there at the end with Rollins getting distracted. You could have had Joe beat him clean, and really you don't lose anything with Rollins because the next week you could do something, you know, that keeps him at a certain level. I thought they were going to go with Rollins, and I thought that was the easiest way to go, but going with Joe, I was kind of like, Sunday, you know, it's like, I know they got 5 weeks, you have a decent amount of time, but you're basically, again, staring down that barrel of having Braun Strowman on the other side of that for SummerSlam, but and it was easy to change my mind because the other universal part of the whole thing was having Paul Heyman go out there and lend that air of credibility to Samoa Joe. And not only that, as Ian mentioned, sure, The Undertaker, Goldberg speared Paul Heyman, but he's Goldberg. This kind of felt like the first time in a long time that somebody put hands on Paul Heyman. And it felt like it was like, ooh, like it was really something special, like Joe did something. And he did do something. He put hands on Paul Heyman, which led to a tense phone call, for those who didn't see it, between Paul and Brock later on, where Brock called Paul's phone. We know that because Paul's phone said it in all caps, Brock. That was it. Brock asked Paul what he should do next Monday night. And, of course, Paul said, unleash the beast. Samoa Joe's got no fear of you at all. Let's put some fear in Samoa Joe. And we got 5 weeks. And I have confidence in WWE when it comes to this type of storyline. I have confidence in Vince McMahon. I question him a lot. I wonder why they do some of the things they do so much, why they go back to the well so often, so many times, in so many times where they don't need to, and they go back to it to something that didn't work in the first place. This one's pretty universal. Two big guys beating the crap out of each other, and the best thing you can do is hold them away from each other. It can get a little long in the tooth where if there's always a brawl. WCW showed this at the end. When there was a backstage brawl every week, you know, nothing was really special. But when Brock brawls with somebody, it can be special. And it can be very, very special with Samoa Joe. Whether he lost to Seth Rollins or not earlier on this year, doesn't really matter. Nobody's going to be thinking of that right now. The only thing they're thinking is Samoa Joe choked out Paul Heyman. Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar will clubber and plunder each other as much as WWE is going to let them do it. And it should be awesome. I don't think the result will be in doubt. I think Brock Lesnar is going to come out of this the conqueror. But it could be great for Samoa Joe, who still also right now has in his back pocket that he's Triple H's hitman. Or at least he's perceived to be that way by other people. He didn't like it when Sami Zayn would tell him that. There seemed to be a little tension every time he was told that. But you have that card coming out of this too. Whereas as long as he is as competitive as the fans need him to be, because I don't know what the level of competitiveness that you need is. I mean, if it's Tommy Hearns and Marvin Hagler, and it's one of those, you know, 4 or 5 minute slugfests and Joe gets beat, but comes out of it bigger, better, great. You know, I don't know exactly what the formula should be for that match. The only thing I know is if you do it right, Samoa Joe's coming out of this thing a lot better, and you desperately need him to be because you need stars. Get into more of a Raw last night as well as SmackDown tonight and some other things as well, too. If you want to give me a call, you can. 1-800-878-PLAY. I'm Mike Sempervivi, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Back on the show. Mr. Announcer Man got it half right. Mike Sempervivi here with you. Brian Alvarez not here with you. He's at the doctor. He's at the dentist. He's giving me an update here. Just made it to the dentist. The doctor was 45 minutes late. Physical was perfect, so you're stuck with me for a long time. Wrestling Observer Live, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529 if you'd like to join me. Brian Alvarez looks like he's going to be back in perfect physical health tomorrow. Not that I would want the show to myself. Not that I would need the show to myself or anything like that. Actually, the way Brian's schedule works right now, it is he really is modeling it after his idol Howard Stern. Brian's going to be down to working 2 days a week at some point. I'm sure that's going to be coming. 17 weeks of vacation. Bury this man on his own show. Jim in Virginia. Jim, how are you?
Hey, how you doing today, Mike?
Pretty good. I might not be here tomorrow. I might get fired after that.
Number one, this has nothing to do with wrestling, but how about Hank Jr. coming back to Monday Night Football? Ain't that great?
That makes sense. You know, like the they went on Sunday Night Football, they went from Faith Hill to Carrie Underwood, and that made actually complete sense. Bring Hank back for all his rowdy friends. It's the Monday Night theme song, the same way Dynamics was famous for World Championship Wrestling on TBS and things like that. So I think it's a perfect move to make.
Exactly. Now, I was reading online on the women's site, Squared Circle Siren. They're saying that Mia Yim may be part of the women's tournament. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about that. I'd be happy with that. You know, I don't know if they're...
I would too.
You know, it's... I mean, one of many names that they, you know... Arisa Nakajima is going to be a part of the thing. I don't think... You know, there's a lot of people who probably aren't familiar with her. But there's a lot of her work that's out there. I mean, they... On paper, it's great, you know. I mean, there's always going to be somebody you'd rather have in there than somebody else or your own favorite that you'd like to see in there. But, you know, this is a great time right now for women's wrestling, and it's a, You know, I'm assuming everybody's looking at this as a pretty great opportunity. Have the ability to be in this thing and to be seen. And we've seen, you know, it's not the best what they've done with 205 Live, but we see it's giving, you know, we'll see what all shakes out with the UK kind of invasion that they did there. So, you know, when it comes to the women and doing a possible women's only show and having the tournament, we'll just have to kind of see where it goes. But it's a, you know, it's a good deal right now with spots opening up. And there's, if there's a plus for women's wrestling, because I know there's a lot of bad feelings, I'm sure, for diehard Joshi fans that Kari Hojo and Iwatani and like they're coming over to the States. Well, the plus of that is it's going to open up positions in Japan. It's going to open up positions worldwide where, you know, I think everybody, I think if you listen to this show, and Jim, obviously you know her, you know, people know the name Toni Storm. There's going to be a lot more people.
She's my favorite.
Well, there you go. But there's going to be a lot more people that probably now know the name Toni Storm to come out of this because, again, she's going to be – now she's truly going to be the biggest thing out there, the one catch that nobody's gotten, that WWE hasn't gotten yet. So, you know, anytime a door may close, another one's going to open up. Now, the stability of Stardom and a lot of these promotions going forward, we'll have to see what happens. But, you know, you got to be able to create stars, and Stardom's done a pretty good job with that. We'll have to see what happens going forward because Roshi Ogawa's groups – like, you know, Ercion and, you know, years ago and things like that, you know, that there seems to be somewhat of a shelf life before it has to be reborn again. Hopefully this doesn't go into the abyss and he can keep it going.
Let me ask you one quick question about Stardom right here. When they have a big match coming together, say Toni Storm against Deonna Purrazzo, I'm just putting a name out there. All right, who is the older man that comes in between them on picture, usually holding the belt?
With the hat and the glasses?
Yes.
That's Ogawa.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't know what his name was.
I'm going to take you back to the phones right now. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. John in Arkansas. John, how are you?
I am well, Mike. Enjoying a nice cigar this afternoon and listening to this fine program. I hope your solo adventure is going well. I have to say, Raw looked up much, much more last night after some struggles. It's amazing what happens when you just let things kind of organically happen and let people digest a situation instead of just boom, 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 rapid fire on them. I loved that Paul Heyman thing. I love the Samoa Joe deal. I think if we can keep this kind of pace booking-wise up, it will improve the overall condition of the show. And even if it's long, you know, you can use those longer points to do some of those personality profile type things like what they did with Alexa Bliss, and there's how you can fill up your time. Plus, take some of those guys that we were discussing the other day, those underutilized guys, and put them in that spot. Don't tell us that you ain't got time for them, because we all know you got 3 hours there Monday and you've got more TV at your disposal. I mean, come on, let's use our time wisely.
Absolutely. They do need to desperately make, you know, by far better use of their time. But what also helps is when you don't get too cute. And we talked about this yesterday, too, is sometimes it's not that difficult. Pro wrestling, I mean, when it gets right down to it, how do you sell any combat sport, whether it be professional wrestling, whether it be mixed martial arts, or whether it be boxing? It is still two half-naked people that are going to be sweaty, that are going to fist fight, or at least pretend to fist fight on a canvas mat. You know, they're either going to fist fight or they're going to grapple, and they're either going to do it for sport or they're going to, you know, and money, or they're going to do it because they don't like each other. And it's not that hard of a story to tell. There's not, you know, David and Goliath, you know, boss versus employee. I mean, there's not, this doesn't have to be that hard. And this is a story of two men who are very nasty, who don't care if people like them or not, who are going to go out there and punch each other in the face. And, oh, yeah, if you thought this one guy who has lost a couple times, and you may not take him as seriously, who may have just, maybe he just slipped on a banana peel on Sunday. He can't be that tough, can he? No, he went out and choked out a smaller advocate who never gets any hands put on him at all to basically enrage the beast who he works for. So it worked out pretty perfectly.
Oh, yeah, and you and I both know that the minute Big Brock shows up, he's going to be in the foul-tempered mood that he normally is in, and probably with a little extra incentive being that, you know, the whole rule is nobody touches Paul, and if you touch Paul, Brock then comes and touches you, and you ain't going to like that. So
that's true.
One of those situations, and I love that story. That's a great story to tell. You put these two, you put the two monsters in there, and you just let them go at each other and just watch them wreck shop on one another. Easy, simple. You don't have to be smarter than the room. Just let it happen.
John, I want to thank you very much for the phone call. Exactly. I mean, again, it's a very easy story to tell. I thought they were going to go Seth because I thought, you know, with the time you have in beating somebody in the lead-up to Braun, it would have been a good one, but this is great. And, you know, you got – there's a lot of pay-per-views. I'm not sure exactly how the schedule is going to fall. I know SummerSlam is August 20th, and that would be the next one after Great Balls of Fire where Joe gets his spot. So you got, you know, more than like a month and a half, I think, till SummerSlam, and then you got No Mercies about a month after that, and then I think theirs is Hell in a Cell. I think, is that still in October? I think it is. Which then leads into Survivor Series and Roadblock and Royal Rumble. And, you know, again, by the time you get to Royal Rumble, you got to figure it's going to be Roman. Now, what happens after Braun? Got a lot of time there. And I like the idea of a lot of time in Finn Balor. I love that idea. Because in that time, you know what Finn Balor can do? Because he wasn't on Raw last night? He could beat The Miz for the Intercontinental title. Does that make me unpopular? Is that something that only I would want to see? I think the two could play off each other perfectly. Miz already has a win over him. He can dangle that over his head. I beat you, Finn. And not only that, I'm the Intercontinental champion for the seventh time. I got a hot Quebec wife, and I got my movie roles. And then I got all this stuff. You know, it's not going to be Dean Ambrose anymore. He and the Drifter seem to be. That's the direction they're going there. So what do you got for The Miz? I guess, yeah, you could still have Ambrose there. But why not Finn Balor? Why not? Miz can take care of the talking. Finn takes care of the action in the ring. I think it's a dynamic that actually, to me, that dynamic actually works. And it gives him, Finn Balor, some time with a guy who's a real heel. Because otherwise, what's he going to do? Bray Wyatt? See, Bray and Seth. Finn and Roman Reigns? You know, I don't know exactly where they're going to go with Roman. You can have him kind of spin some wheels right now. You can tease some things with some other guys. You can keep him a part of Bray's story or of Seth's story or something like that. But I have a feeling he's going to be also then used with Braun a little bit later on, so you got to kind of pull him back a little bit. You can't pull him back if he's against Finn Balor. See what you have to say, too. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. Give me a call. Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervivi. We'll be back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Mike Sempervivi here with you. Brian Alvarez will be back here tomorrow. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529 if you'd like to join me. It is SmackDown night tonight. They've announced some matches on the front page of the Wrestling Observer. In addition to Kevin Owens versus Shinsuke Nakamura non-title match that was revealed previously, WWE has announced more matches for tonight's SmackDown. AJ Styles will once again face Dolph Ziggler on the show, a rematch from last week's main event where Styles lost in his hometown of Atlanta, because that's what they do. I forgot about Rich Swann being from Baltimore, or he would have lost too. They were just thinking about Sasha. Is she from Baltimore? No, Boston, I think is what she represents. Perfect, all right, she can win here. What about Rich? Who? That was Vince. They would have known. They may have beaten Rich Swann. That's what they do. That's what they do. It'll be a six-woman tag match. SmackDown Women's Champion Naomi, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch against Natalya, Carmella, and Tamina, the welcoming committee. aside from Naomi, everyone else in that match will be involved in the first ever Women's Money in the Bank match on June 18th at that pay-per-view. The New Day is also scheduled to return to in-ring action for the first time since Kofi Kingston got hurt and underwent ankle surgery in April. And then after SmackDown, there's going to be a Cruiserweight Championship match on 205 Live. TJP against Neville. TJP better suited as more of a heel there. I don't know. It didn't come across. I don't think it had any teeth in it last night with Neville laying him out. Although it was pretty well done, I guess. But Neville and TJP tonight will wonder if Austin Aries will get involved at all. Not one mention of Jinder Mahal there. Not any mention of John Cena either. But I'm sure he's going to be mentioned several times tonight as show American Grit is debuting Sunday on Fox here in the States. He'll be returning to SmackDown, if for only one night, on July 4th. I don't know if he actually returns for good on July 4th or if he's got a bunch of other movie nonsense to do. But he's definitely going to be back on July 4th. A lot of people have thought about, well, could you do something with him and Jinder there? You could. I don't think it's the best idea, especially when you have the obvious thing smacking you right in the face, which is the face of America, Kevin Owens, your United States heavyweight champion. Seemed to be a perfect way for John Cena to come back, defending the honor of America against the evil Quebecer, Kevin Owens. Tickets for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Now, that's mentioned SummerSlam before being on August 20th. The Saturday before Barclays Center, TakeOver 3 is going to be taking place. TakeOver Brooklyn 3. All four pay-per-view weekends now have TakeOvers attached to them, as they should. And Brooklyn... The big surprise the first year is the fact that it sold out. Last year, not as much of a surprise. This year, I've got to assume it's going to do the same. Well, I'll be interested to see what they announce. It was 15,589 for the first show. Last year, it was 15,671. It's not going to go down. So what do you think? I'm saying they do a full 300. They get to like 15,997. Give you some wiggle room for next year. Speaking of NXT, results from Monday's Aberdeen show in Scotland, not Aberdeen, Maryland, is up on the website right now, WrestlingObserver.com. The tour has begun Wednesday. They're off today. Wednesday they're going to be in Leeds, Thursday in Brighton, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The show is going to be a part of the Download Festival, which is... The Download Festival, I guess, is like the spiritual extension of the Monsters of Rock tour. So how happy was Triple H to be involved in this? I know there's a Lemmy stage, or there has been, at least in the past, to celebrate Motorhead. So I'm sure we're going to have our theme music for God knows how many NXT shows for the future coming out of this, and for as many men and women on that roster. God knows the ideas that they could come up with off of that show, but I'm going to take it back to the phones now, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Milo in Anaheim. Milo, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mike. How are you doing this afternoon?
Monumental, my friend. What's happening?
hey, first off, I want to say, long-time listener, first-time caller, I love the solo shows you do. You just do a fantastic job, my friend.
I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. I don't have any money, so I can't pay you for that one.
That's all right. Hey, I want to talk about Bayley. I love Bayley, but man, the last 2 days, it's hard to be a Bayley fan. Besides how bad the Extreme Rules match was, I was really upset that she had no follow-up last night. She wasn't on the show. She didn't get a chance to cut a promo. I mean, something to go out there and just tell people, yeah, like, if the story they're trying to tell is that her good character made her not want to go hardcore after she thought she could go hardcore, that's actually kind of an interesting storyline. But the fact that she never got to cut that promo explaining her character motivations of why she didn't use the kendo stick on Alexa Bliss, like, that's a key component to care about her moving forward. And the fact that they just totally neglected that, it just really upsets me as a fan of Bayley. I'm wondering what you think about how the company is handling Bayley post her monumental loss at Extreme Rules.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because you obviously watched the show on Sunday, and you heard her promo where she got booed, and you've seen the last few weeks of build to this where she has come out and stumbled and looked like a fool. She has asked for the match and failed at it. She has gone out there to get the upper hand and has failed miserably at it, and then goes and, you know, again, loses that match, and she was getting booed in the promo beforehand. Are you setting her to go out there and fail and to get booed out of the building, though, if she goes out and tries to explain that she didn't want to get extreme in a match that she asked for? I mean, aren't you kind of begging for it? Isn't it better she was off the show last night?
Okay, I guess, but then, I mean, as you just described all this bad booking with her, it's like, well, then what do you do to try to rehab her? Like, this might sound insane, but do you try to turn her heel? And let that be the impetus of this? Because it's like, what do you do to try to get people back into her if she can't cut that promo? You know what I mean? A win against Alicia Fox in a random match isn't going to do it. Like, she needs some character moving forward.
You raise a good question, Milo. Well, thank you very much for the call. I think what I do is I put her on ice for a little bit. You got enough women on that roster. And I'm not saying that you fully hit the reset button. You can't put the genie back in the bottle again. But what you can do is take a little bit of time, see where you screwed up, see what people actually, why they liked Bayley in the first place, and go more towards that direction. She can come back reinvigorated. She can come back saying she can whatever. I mean, obviously they play her up as WWE super fan. So you can pick any angle from the past of, I'm inspired by Ricky Steamboat coming back from getting his larynx crushed by Randy Savage. And I know if he can come back from that, I can definitely come back from these welts on my back from Alexa Bliss. And I'm going to be more serious now. And I know what kind of world I'm in when it comes to WWE. Maybe I forgot about that. And maybe I forgot that sometimes, you know, Heartbreak Kid or no matter who it was, whoever my hero was, that they had that mean streak. They had that ability. They had to learn to keep their head on a swivel. And I'm going to do that when I get back. And the first person I'm going after is, I'm taking the biggest one, you Nia Jax. You know, you bully or whatever it's going to be, whatever you do with it. I think that's just the best way to do it, and I think the only thing you can kind of do right now is I think, I'm not saying deactivate or anything like that, she can still go to house shows and all that sort of stuff, but I think as far as TV goes, because you have so much on there and I know you got a lot of hours to fill, I think you just step back and I think you kind of rebuild the thing that way. I think that's the direction I would go. You know, I don't, with a guy like Bray Wyatt, I'm not sure exactly what you can do at this point to make anybody think he's credible, but I think even though you've done a lot of damage to Bayley and you can't go back and do the first time all over again, I think that would be a pretty good way to go about kind of rebuilding her up there a little bit. I do want to mention this because last week Boss Man was pondering what exactly might be going on with the UK television show that was promised for the network. And he was thinking it could go by the wayside, which wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. You know, I appreciate a secondary TV show, the 205 Live main event, WCW Worldwide, WWF Spotlight, Legends of World Class, whatever. For me, right now, a UK show would be secondary TV viewing. I'm not sure if people in the UK and Ireland agree with that. I'm going to guess no. And I wouldn't blame you one bit either. You know, we'll put it to the test here soon, though. As Pro Wrestling Sheet has reported, the UK show is definitely on. They're going to run shows twice a month to tape the TV. And several guys were signed to new contracts, including Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, Wolfgang, Mark Andrews. They're going to be brought to Orlando at times as well to continue work in the UK, as well as continue work in the UK. The Observer had reported weeks back that WWE contracted venues that are already well known for running shows with other promotions regarding taping in those buildings. No first date has been announced. Their original plan was June, but that window may be too tight at this point. Good, I guess. I mean, I just think you're real big hitters no matter where they're from. should be putting in a bulk of their work on the big one, you know, whether that's Raw or SmackDown when it comes to the cruiserweights or NXT. You know, Aleister Black, Tommy End is a great example of that. Nikki Cross is a great example of that. You know, Killian Dane, Alexander Wolf. Wolf to a lesser extent, but they got something for him, so that's different. But, you know, Dunn and Bate and Seven, like, they should, to me, in my opinion, they should be NXT guys, one of which happens to be the UK champion. And they can travel. You know, yeah, it might be a little expensive, but what's expensive with how this company spends money in some places? To me, these guys, they should be bumping up with the Strongs and the Rudes and the Onos and the Garganos, and unless the NXT guys are going to go work over there on their show, which is not looking like it's going to be the case, then I want these guys over here. You know, the possibility of the Adam Coles and Kyle O'Reillys, if they're ever allowed to sign. I think these guys should all be in those mixes. You know, Drew McIntyre. You think WWE looks at Drew McIntyre as an NXT guy or as a UK guy? You know, what would you rather be considered in their eyes? So, again, I'm not down on the idea or anything like that. I mean, you know, there's going to be some good stuff on there. I just wish, again, those guys would be factored into NXT. And I think the UK show should feature guys from the UK and maybe feature some guys who aren't featured so much on NXT going over there to get work. You know what I mean? To me, I like that idea a lot more. They're not going to do it in all likelihood, but we'll have to see how everything shakes out. It's not looking well for 205 Live and the people that have been kind of banished to that. So the separation I don't like. New Japan, their full Dominion lineup's been announced. We'll talk about that coming up in the next couple days here leading into Sunday's show. Michael Elgin, Cody Rhodes. That's a noticeable one there. Because I have a feeling that's going to end up leading to Cody and Minoru Suzuki in Long Beach. I bet you. Can't guarantee it, but I'm going to go that direction. We'll be back, though, to close out this show. Mike Sempervivi here with you, Wrestling Observer Live. Hey, we're back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Mike Sempervivi here with you. Want to send out thoughts before I go to Harley Race. Reportedly suffered two broken legs at a fall at his home on Saturday. Best wishes go out to him, as well as Smith Hart, who's been suffering from prostate and bone cancer, was moved to hospice care in the last couple of days. Smith is 68, the oldest of Stu and Helen's 12 children, didn't achieve anywhere near the notoriety of his brothers, especially Brett and Owen, but certainly had some very interesting moments in his life and career, so thoughts and prayers go out to that whole clan. As I mentioned, too, Cody and Suzuki, you know, if Cody and Elgin is for a title shot, and Cody really wants Minoru Suzuki, I bet you he'd love to do it in the LBC, and I think that's a good matchup you can make out of that. But, again, we'll talk about that more as the weeks go on. 7 days a week, live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern, noon, 5 Pacific, 8 and 1 GMT. Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern time, repeated again at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. And, of course, the original mothership, 2 hours every Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, 11 GMT, repeated on Monday mornings, 8 Pacific, and 11 a.m. I want to thank producer Dom and everybody else who helps make this show possible, but especially you for listening in. All of you callers, Ian, Jim, John, you guys today, it's a happy day. Dom's feeling good. I'm feeling good. We found out Boss Man is feeling good, which means he's going to be around for a while. Which means my hope of taking over the show on a full-time basis without him or seemingly going out the window. That's all right, though. I can coexist. You can take a ride on his gold boat. Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez back tomorrow. I'm Mike Sempervivi here with you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great day.